To have several items now in the worship program, and all young people taking part. First of all, the Sabbath school. It's good to see the Sabbath school here this evening. They're going to sing, and then after the Sabbath school sings, one of our young men is going to read from the scriptures, Mr. Stephen Russell. He's going to read from the Word of God straight after that. And then after Mr. Russell reads from the scriptures, the young people singing group. The young people then, it's good to see the young people tonight as well, and they're going to sing as well after Mr. Russell reads the Word of God. So we thank these young people, and we'll ask now the Sabbath school if they'd come and sing.
Our scripture reading tonight is found in the book of Luke and the second chapter. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read the first 18 verses, commencing at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning his child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Amen.
Seek the Lord, let us bow our heads. Our Father, we thank thee for this meeting tonight and for thy presence and for all thy servants, these young people and ladies and all who took part. Bless them. Bless them. Bless us, Lord. Now we sit around thy holy word. We pray for the Spirit. Oh, speak to hearts. Get thy word into us. Bless thy people and work in sinners. For Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention in the Word of God to that portion of Scripture that was read earlier. Luke chapter 2 and the verse 7 is our text. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and the verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here we have the Savior's first clothes and the Savior's first bed. His first clothes, they wrapped him in swaddling bands, swaddling clothes, and his first bed, they laid him in a manger. An animal's feeding tray, an animal's feeding trough, they laid him in a manger. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is not miraculous. His conception was miraculous. He was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit 9 months previous to this. And now we have the birth. The birth is not miraculous. She brought forth her firstborn son. That is not miraculous. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger. None of that is miraculous. But every bit of it is significant. It's significant that he was so wrapped. It's significant that he was so laid. These are not miraculous activities, but they are significant actions. They are a sign. Now there's a threefold emphasis upon this wrapping of these first clothes of our Lord Jesus and of this laying of him in an animal's feeding trough in a manger, which may have been a wooden manger. It may have been a stone manger. And archaeologists still dig up plenty of stone mangers in the land of Israel. We're not sure which. But there is an emphasis on this activity and this action. You will see there in verse 11, whenever the angel appeared to the shepherds, the angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." This is significant. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in an animal's feeding trough. That's the sign to you shepherds. And they went along to the place. And they found the place. And it says that they came with haste, verse 16, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, that is the sign, this significant sign of a babe wrapped in swaddling bands and lying in the animal's feeding trough. When they had seen it, the sign. And so you see the significance of these things. And I want you to come with me into the cave. Probably was a cave. Into the cave. And I want you to stoop down with me into the cave. With these shepherds from the hills of Bethlehem. And I want you to behold this scene. As we see the Savior in his first clothes. And as we see the Savior in his first, on his first bed, we want to see what the sign means. What can we learn from the scene about our Lord Jesus Christ? What's the significance of this sight? Well, this is the Savior. unto you that's born this day in the city of David a Savior, a Deliverer, a Redeemer. And this is a sign. This is an echo of Moses. Moses was a great deliverer in the Old Testament. And you remember something like this happened to him when he was a babe. He was carefully prepared. He was laid in a basket. And he was laid among the reeds in the Nile. Laid in the basket in a feeding tray. Laid there who was to be the deliverer. And now the true deliverer. The deliverer of us from our sins, our Savior Jesus Christ. He likewise is laid in a feeding tray. What does it mean? How is he going to save us, the Savior, in an animal's feeding tray? What do we learn? What do I see? Well, you know what I see when I look into the manger and see Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what I see? I see poverty. I see a poor babe. I think of the objects that are not present. No midwife. No attendants. She brought forth her firstborn. She did it alone. No costly garments. No princely robes. No cradle. No eloquent furniture. A cave. A mere cave. A manger. An animal's feeding tray. Rags. Swaddling clothes. I see poverty. Poverty. And this Savior became poor for us. For he is the Lord of glory. As we sung, he who built the starry skies, come, come to descend to the poverty of a manger. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He became poor for you, sinner. He became poor for you, poor sinner. He became poor for you, poor for me. He did it voluntarily. And so there is this poverty. Poverty is a result of the fall. Eden was not poor. Eden was rich. But in our sin we were cast out. Paupers. Poor. Poor spiritual paupers. We were cast out. And Jesus has to come for the realms of glory. And he comes as a poor one. For our sakes, he became poor. Jesus became poor for you. Poverty. A sign and seal of poverty. And then I see suffering and shame. Here's a picture of hardship. Here's a picture of suffering. You would not want to be reduced to this. You would not want to be reduced to taking your babe and putting your babe in an animal's tray. You wouldn't want to be reduced to that. That's shame. There's suffering in that. There's an agony even in the mother's heart. There's suffering in this cave. There's shame in this cave. There's reproach in this cave. There's coldness and dampness. And the beasts for company. A bed out of which the animals had just fed. Humiliation. Humiliation. Shame. Suffering. And that's what Jesus is always to endure. It's a sign and seal. He is to become a Savior in his sufferings. He's to become a Savior in the shame. The shame that he must bear. The shame and the reproach that he must carry. Ahead of him is a life of shame. Ahead of him is a life of suffering, a life of sorrow. We look into the cave, and none of us think it's going to get better for Jesus. No. No, he has humbled himself to a manger, and he's going to go deeper. He's going to go lower. He's going to go to the cross, humble himself to the cross. He has sufferings to bear. He has reproach to carry. It's a sign. It's a sign. As the shepherds look in, they see a man of sorrows. He's to be a man of sorrows. As they look into the manger, he's to be acquainted with grief. from the cradle to the tomb, acquainted with grief. It's a saying. It's a saying. Not a palace, no, but a cave and an animal's feeding trough. But not only do we see poverty and suffering and shame, we see death. Death. Burial. I think of the location, an animal stable, probably tradition says it, a cave. I think of the clothes, the bands, the linen clothes. These would have wrapped him up like a mummy, would have wrapped him up. He'd have been washed, he'd have been anointed with olive oil, and he'd been wrapped up. His hands would be by his side, he'd be wrapped up, and just his face would show. It's like being buried. It's like a dead one. It's like what happened to him whenever he went into the tomb. They took his body. They anointed him. They had the spices. They wrapped him up. And they laid him in the tomb. And that's what's happening now in the cave. It's like a tomb. They've wrapped him up. The mother wraps him up. Loving hands wrap him up. And they lay him in the manger. An animal's feeding tray. And death. He was laid in the tomb. And it was like death fed on him. And there's a saying here of that. Death and burial. Whenever those shepherds entered, they must have thought they entered a tomb rather than a house. It's all a picture. How he is to deliver us. It's a picture how he is to save us. It's a picture how he is to redeem us in his death, in his burial for us. The one who was born for us was born to die for us. That's why he's wrapped in clothes. And that's why he's laid in a manger. But I see something else. I see concealment. I see a Christ who's wrapped up. She wrapped him up. Only his face is revealed. Only his face is seen. He's concealed. There's something hidden about Christ. His Godhead is veiled. Veiled in flesh. The Godhead, see, he's hidden. He's concealed. He's not born in Jerusalem. He's not born in the palace. He's born in the cave. He's concealed. He's hidden. His glory's hidden. And when the shepherds looked in, they didn't see any glory. They just saw a face. They didn't see any glory as they looked into the manger. They said, "Where's the glory here? Where's the glory here that the angel talked about? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." He's the Lord. But whenever they looked into the tomb or into the cave all wrapped up, they don't see the glory. It's concealed. It's concealed from the world. It's concealed from Herod. It's concealed from the Pharisees and the scribes in Jerusalem. They could tell the wise men where he was to be born, but they didn't come to see. It's all concealed from them. But these angels see, or these shepherds see, and the wise men see. They see the glory. Why do they see the glory? Because they believe the word. The word said, "Christ the Lord is born." This is a sign. They believe the word. They looked in, they just saw a concealed babe. But they believe the word. And you sinner, you don't see any glory in Jesus. You don't see any beauty in him to desire. He's concealed. He's concealed. He's hidden from you. None of the princes of this world knew, the Bible says. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know he was concealed. You remember how our Lord Jesus said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them unto babes." Babes in faith. Babes who believe. Do you believe? Do you have faith? Has the word come to you in the power of the Spirit? As you look into the cave tonight, do you see the Lord? Do you see the glory? Do you see the Savior? Do you trust in him? So there's a concealment. There's a concealment. Do you look into his face? The face that reveals the glory of God. We behold in his face the glory of God. So there's a concealment. And then there's something else. There's rejection. Because it says here, it gives the reason why he was laid in a manger. It says you wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And the reason why he ends up in a manger is because there's no room. There's no room in the inn. There's no bed. There's no room. There's no place for them. There's no cradle. And so they end up in the cave with the animals. And they end up in a manger with the babe. And it's because they've been rejected. There's no room for you here, you family of Jesus. There's no room. And so, this is a sign of rejection. Christ must go among the beasts for some shelter. He has neither sympathy or kindness shown to him. That's a sign. It's a sign how he's going to be treated all his life. It's a sign that he's going to be despised and rejected of men all his life. It's a sign that he's going to be even cast out the city, outside the city and crucified outside the gate. It's going to be a sign he's a man of rejection, a man being rejected all the time. It's a sign. It's a sign that he's going to bear reproach, that he's going to be the despised of the people. It's a sign that they that see him are going to laugh him to scorn, and they're going to shoot out the lip, and they're going to shake the head, and they're going to say, he trusted in the Lord. That's a sign. There's no room for him. No room for him. Now, it's not maybe that the innkeeper rejected them, but there's no room. Have you any room for Jesus? You have room for everything else. You have room for education. You have room for work. You have room for this and that. You have room for the other. But what about him? Have you any room for Jesus? No room for Jesus. All his life long, no room for Jesus. What about you? Any room for Jesus? And so, there is this rejection. I see rejection when I look into this scene. But you know, there's something else I see. I see love. I see love. Because Mary, while it's just swaddling clothes, that's all it is, just swaddling clothes, she loved them. She wrapped them up with love. It's only a manger. That's all she has. She's only got a manger. But she laid him in it. She laid him gently in it. She laid him in it with love. I see love. The Lord, whenever he's describing Jerusalem, says that it was like a baby cast out. No, nobody swaddled it. Nobody washed it. Nobody cradled it. And then the Lord said, I found you. I found you in your blood. And I took you in and I washed you. And I cradled you. And I clothed you. Because God loved Jerusalem. And Mary loved Jesus. It's a sign of love. Yes, it's a sign of all these other things. But it's a sign of love. There's going to be some people who will love him. There are going to be some people who will, as it were, take hold of him. And so, while it wasn't much, he was loved by those who were near to him. And in closing, that's what I want you to do. I want you to love Jesus. I want you to take Jesus. I want you to wrap him with the arms of your faith. I want you to take him. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And I want you to take Jesus Christ.
And I want you to wrap him with faith. And to wrap him in the embrace of your arms of trust. I want you to take hold of him and love him. This is a service about Jesus Christ. This is the worship of the Lamb in this house. This is the lifting up of the Redeemer. And I want you to take him and to wrap him up. To wrap him up in the embrace of faith. I want you to take him and to wrap him up and to keep him and to not let him go. No, never to let him go. The world will assault him. The people will come in and they'll mock, and the scoffers will mock, and the people will persecute you. But never let him go. Wrap him up in faith and never let him go. Take him to yourself. Love him. Love him. You might not be able to do much for him, but you can love him. You mightn't have much to give him, but you can lay him in a manger. You can lay him in your heart. You can lay him in your life. Lay him to yourself. You mightn't have much to do, but you can lay him in your heart. Will you not do that to Jesus? Will you not take him and wrap him and receive him and embrace him and lay him up? Lay him up in your heart. It's a sign of love. We love Jesus. And we receive him and we preach him. And I would leave that thought with you then, sinner. Receive Jesus Christ and lay him up in your heart.